Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Big hello to all of you that we haven't seen for quite a while. Let me take a second just to say that I love you guys. I miss you. Looking forward to the day when we can all be in the same room together. And that day is coming, I believe, soon. I want you to know again that I love you and we're praying for you daily. And, you know, we're one church in three different campuses, our main campus, our Mandarin campus, and our online campus. So we just want you to know that we value each of you so much as our online campus, that wherever you're joining us from, that we're one family, and that the church is not just, can't be contained in one building. It is all of us together. And so I want to encourage you today to sign in, say hello in the chat. Let us know where you're joining us from. We'd love to pray for you if you have any needs today. And our hosts are here live today, ready to go to stand with you. And you know what? If you're still watching from home because of health concerns, take care of yourself. Stay healthy. But if you're home out of habit, then I want to invite you to come back. I think everybody that's here on a Sunday morning would attest to the fact that there's nothing like being in the same room together. So we look forward to seeing you again soon when you're ready for that. And we want you to know we're praying for that day to come sooner than later. And you know, I think as we continue to seek the welfare of our city, we're seeing conditions in the city improve every single week. And so we thank God for that. And I would also say that if you have children or young people, teens at home, and you're still gathering from home, to make the best of all our on-demand content to help bring strength to your family. Okay, last week we started our Family Foundation series with a message called Strong Beginnings that focused on building a lasting relational foundation with God. He is our primary relationship. And it's from that relationship that every other relationship flows with the kind of health that God intended for each of us. Now, during his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells an unforgettable story of two builders, the wise who built his house on the rock, and the foolish who built his house on the sand. And Jesus uses a house as an analogy for building a life, the kind of life that can stand up to the storms that we'll face. In Matthew 7:24, so later on, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," very important, we don't just agree with what he's saying, but that we put them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, this parable is a powerful warning to us that the right foundation is critical for building a strong life. And when our relationships are built on Christ, they will stand, even when the storms of life come and beat against them. And relationships can be amazing, but they're anything but easy. And we can't go back in a time machine and change our past mistakes, but God can forgive and help us to begin to move forward doing and building relationships his way. And our lives, they improve significantly. They completely change when our relationships are working. We notice a serious difference when they're healthy as God intended our relationships to be. And I think the sooner we realize that our relationships are spiritual, the sooner we also realize that the solution for making them work is also spiritual. You see, God's intent for our relationships, if we go right back to Genesis 1, starts with a healthy relationship with him, allowing you and I to maintain healthy relationships with other people. When we start with that connection, we were created in his image. We were created to reflect the community that he himself defines as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why we place such importance here at the church on our Calvary groups, on these small groups that get together throughout the week to connect together, to care for one another, to reflect the kind of community that God Himself represents, where we can discover that the living word and the written word being in a living place within our lives. So when life's pressures are pulling us apart, some of us have gone through that recently, it's that biblical community and those biblical values that can pull us back together again. You know, Winston Churchill once said, "My most brilliant achievement was my ability to be able to persuade my wife to marry me." I love that statement. And I think that many of the men that may be watching our broadcast today would wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Churchill. I know that I am one of those. You know, one of our first romantic dinners as a newly married couple didn't quite go according to plan. We were honeymooning in the happiest place on earth, in Walt Disney World. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of Susan and I on our honeymoon. Such a beautiful couple. See that, the colorful parachute pants and my wife's rocking 90s hair. We were young and in love. But our plans set out to have this romantic dinner for two at a quiet table for two in the Mexico Pavilion. It's got like a river that runs by it. It's like an incredible spot. But what happened instead of that picture becoming a reality is we ended up having a bag of M&M peanuts and sitting on the pavement watching the fireworks together. Because earlier in the day, we set out to go to the newly minted Disney Studios park, which opened, and they had opened a brand new ride that we lined up for hours to get into called Star Tours. It was the first kind of Star Wars entry into the ride system in the parks there. And so everybody wanted to go. I was excited to be there. Susan and I were both excited to be there. And so we waited in line, and what I was about to learn about my new bride is that she didn't quite take well to motion simulator rides. As a matter of fact, she got motion sickness very easily. And so we went on the ride, and this thing shook us around and up and down and back and forth. I thought it was amazing. And we got out, and Susan was very quiet. We stopped by the washroom, and I knew something was wrong when she didn't return for quite a while. When she got back, she was quiet. I said, "Are you okay?" "No, I'm fine." And I said, "You know what? We can go if you want." Now, inside, I'm hoping, "Please, don't go. I just spent all this money to come in here. I don't want to leave this place." But you know what? Trying to be a good new husband, I was willing to lay it all aside and to take care of her. She said, no, I'm fine. And I love her for that. She powered on with a Disney smile. And I think she was hoping that in the couple of hours that we had before our romantic dinner, that she would rally and maybe feel a little bit better. Well, finally we made it to the restaurant, and after 20 minutes of waiting, the hostess came by and said, "Hey, I'll take you to your seat now." And so as we started to follow her, Susan said, "Listen, I can't do this. I can't." I said, "What's wrong?" She then admitted to feeling off most of the day and to getting sick after we got off that silly Star Tours ride. And she said, "There's just no way that I can enjoy this dinner, spend all this money. It would just be such a waste." Now, the truth is, having a romantic dinner at this Mexican restaurant would have been a great honeymoon memory. But honestly, eating M&Ms and watching the fireworks sitting on the pavement turned out probably to be more memorable and more romantic to this day. Relationships and marriages don't always end up the way that we imagine, the picture of perfection or romance. Today we're talking about building strong marriages. And I pray that this message would not only strengthen those of you that are in those marriage relationships, but for those of you that aren't married, that maybe someday will be, that this will serve as a foundation for you. And maybe if you're single and you're walking through that season, or you're happy in that space, these truths can also help to build strong friendships. strong family relationships, even stronger community. And each of us need that. You know, another part of God's original intent was that he didn't create man just to have relationship with him. You see, after he created the world, he put Adam in it, and then he said in Genesis 2:18, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. I'll make him a companion," talking about Eve. So God created man and woman to be in relationship with one another, to create a family, to live together, to reflect the community of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 24, it says, "Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man, and the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united," circle that word, we're going to come back to it, "is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." You know, over time, people do stupid things for love. People go out of their way with grand gestures to profess their love to those that they have given their heart to. And if you're married today, you can likely think back in your life to some silly things that you did that fall under that category, right? Maybe you spent way too much money on a gift or a dinner that you ended up spending months trying to repay. Maybe you drove all night long just to be with someone who you thought was the one, or you decided was the one. But you know what? Then one day we wake up, after all of that pursuit, after everything we do to go after the one that we love, we wake up one day and we wonder what happened. Where did that person go? Where did the passion go? Where's all the fire emojis that defined that kind of relationship back then? See, somewhere along the way, we stopped pursuing one another. We became relationally lazy. It's like taking care of your yard, right? You know, here at the church, we're surrounded by homes that in the summertime, they are so beautifully landscaped that they could be on the cover of Home and Garden magazine. You know what? People spend thousands of dollars investing time and effort with perfectly cut grass, with shrubs and bushes that are like Edward Scissorhands sculpted bushes. They're incredible. Listen, perfectly cut grass. They fertilize the grass. They water the grass. They fertilize the water. They do it over and over again. They put all this time and again, thousands for upkeep and maintenance. And in marriage, I think sometimes we look at other marital yards and we think their grass looks greener than ours does. But I have learned that if the grass looks greener somewhere else, it's time to water your own. Well, Pastor Steve, we just don't love one another anymore. We think it's best for everyone involved that we just get a divorce. I think today people throw that word around far too easily. It's a word that can cut deep and be used oftentimes as a threat. To get divorced because you ran out of love is like selling your car because it ran out of gas. If your tank is empty, you need a refill. You don't need a replacement. Now, in Christ, there's a never-ending supply of that unconditional love that will fill both our tanks and then some. Now, let me go back and show you something interesting in that verse that we read in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 2:24, again, it says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Now, when we read that, when we hear that scripture, most people understand the word united as a kind of a one-time event. It's the wedding. It's the time when two come together intimately. But in the Hebrew language, one word is like a mini story. And it's difficult sometimes to translate it word for word to English because so much rich meaning can be lost. You see, the Hebrew word translated united comes from the root word dabak, which means to cling or adhere, to catch by pursuit, to pursue hard with affection and devotion. So why is it that we once pursued hard with devotion and affection, and sometimes now we just can't even be bothered? Again, we've become relationally lazy. I think over time we begin to take those we love, whether it's our spouse or a friend or a family member, we take those relationships for granted. Sometimes we give up pursuing the one that God has put in our life. Good intentions are just not enough anymore. They need to become action. So you need to just work hard. You know that when you come into a relationship and you find someone that you want to give your heart to, you work hard to get that person's attention. But you need to work just as hard after they say, "I do," to keep them. You need to keep that pursuit going every single day. So let me give you five keys to help kind of close the gap between intentions and actions in your marriage and in your relationships. The first key is to surround yourself with godly people. You are the company that you keep, which means that even with the best of intentions, keeping bad company comes with a cost. And we see that reflected in Scripture, the Book of Wisdom, in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." So you need to begin to foster relationships with friends and families, family members who also trust God, and be a support to one another's relationships and marriages. This is where being a part of a Calvary group is so important, such an important part of bringing strength to that relational foundation in your life. A small group of people all headed in the same direction, all trusting God to be at the center of their relationships. If you're struggling in your relationships, in your marriage, a small group is a great place to start to regain strength as you discover the living word, the written word, and as you live in community with those that are on that same path as you are. The second key that we see is to communicate with respect. You should talk with your spouse. You should talk with the ones that you love often and talk to them with love. Proverbs 15:4 says, "Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim." Now, this can be difficult, especially when we're ticked off with somebody. When they've said something to hurt our feelings, we're angry, we feel that we've been hard done by. This is the last thing that we want to do, is to communicate any kind of respect. But it's these kind of moments that are actually the most important, the times when we need to offer those kind words in love. The third key is probably the most neglected, but the most important, and that's to pray together. Make a habit of praying with your partner for wisdom, for guidance, for strength in marriage, and build a healthy personal relationship with God while you build that relationship with one another. Now listen, I know this one is much easier said than done, because sometimes you sit down and you're like, okay, we should pray together. Pastor Steve said we should pray. Let's give this a try. And you start praying and you feel awkward. You feel silly. And sometimes you give up even before you continue. But I want to encourage you every day, spend a little bit of time going to God in prayer. Pray for your kids. Pray for that love. Pray that God would help you to draw on Him for the strength you need to begin to pursue one another again. Fourth key is to encourage one another. Marriage isn't a place for petty, stupid competition, for insecurities, or for fear. You should lift your spouse up. You should encourage them to follow their dreams, to be their best self. You know what? Sometimes this is extra challenging when one spouse loves God and the other is not walking with God. Now, the Bible talks a lot about not being unequally yoked with someone else, meaning two people that aren't walking in the same direction, that have two different centers to their lives. That is an incredibly challenging walk to walk. But some of us come to Christ after we've made those commitments, and so we can't, again, go back in time. But every one of these principles still apply to you in the situation that you're in as you continue to pray, and believe God for your spouse to come to know Christ. When the two of you then are aligned with God and aligned with one another, a great new strength comes. But until then, persevere. Persevere. Continue to pray and believe that his strength will be yours in those difficult times. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another. How often? The Bible says, daily. Encourage one another daily. Make that investment as long as it is called today. Do not put off until tomorrow what you can do right now today. You should be your spouse's biggest cheerleader. When you think of something good to say, say it. Text it. Do it now. Don't put that stuff off. And listen, gentlemen, sometimes a compliment doesn't always lead to the bedroom. So keep that in mind. Sometimes, you know, a nice dinner or some flowers can just be expressing your love and your feelings towards that individual. Doesn't always have an intended objective in mind. Although in the context of marriage, sometimes it does go that direction, and that's a wonderful thing. But keep that balance. Let them know that you don't love them for what they can do for you, but you love them because God has placed them in your life. And those encouraging words that you speak can bring life to your relationship and can bring life to that other person. And then finally, number five, remember your vows. You know what? There will be times when the romance has faded, and maybe the excitement that you had at the beginning of your relationship has diminished. And this, honestly, can be a very vulnerable time for couples. But this is the best time to fall back on your vows, on the covenant that you made, the promises that you made before God and those that you love and support you. James 4:17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. See, you didn't promise for better or for worse until things get boring. You promised a lifetime. So bring back that hot pursuit. Make every day Valentine's Day. Give them your all. Whether that's in the context of marriage or whether it's developing the kind of friendships that will last a lifetime because they're based on the foundation of Christ. Marriage is a deeply spiritual union. And when it's not working, it requires a deeply spiritual solution. And here's the solution in Scripture. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's only by his strength that we can do all things. We try to do all the things, but we cannot measure up. We always fall short. And so it's in his strength that we can see the restoration of broken and strained relationships. We've just gone through a couple of years where exterior circumstances has applied incredible pressure to marriages. Financially, emotionally, people are under fire. The storms have been beating against those relationships. And you know what? God wants you to be aligned with him, aligned with one another, walking in his wisdom, pursuing hard with devotion and affection towards one another, and making prayer and the church community a priority in your life. That's why I say at the beginning of the broadcast, if you're home out of habit, listen, maybe it's time to return, because it's this community God's put in your life that will help you to step on to what's coming next. My prayer for you is that you would walk in those healthy relationships because your foundation is grounded on Christ, the solid rock. And those of you that are in marriage situations today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for those of you that are struggling and you don't know what to do, that God would give you wisdom, that God would give you love and would return to your heart an understanding of what it takes not to just find the right person, but to keep the right person. And for those of you that are doing okay, listen, I want to encourage you to pursue after your spouse with affection, with devotion, to step it up again. Don't become relationally lazy. Let's allow the love of God to refill us so that we can be there for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the promises of your word. We thank you that you reflect the kind of community that we desire to live in, to be in health. I pray today for those who are in marriage relationships where there is brokenness, where there is struggle and strain. And for those that maybe have just lost that fire, that God, you would restore to them a passion, the kind of passion that they experienced when they first met. And that you, Lord Jesus, would be at the center of that relationship. And if they've done it wrong in the past, I pray that through your forgiveness, they would do it your way moving forward. They would make you that foundation. And that God, each of us in our lives and in our relationships, in our friendships, in our family relationships, and in our church community, that we would allow you to be that strong foundation, to bring strength to every relationship that we have, and that we can be a strength to those around us. And that today, those that don't know you, that are lost without you, can know you simply by acknowledging who you are. That you came, you died on a cross to forgive them of their sins, to give them new life. And if that's you today, you can pray that prayer and be changed forever. To say, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I've blown it, that I've tried too often to do it on my own. Lord, I stop trying. I stop striving. And I recognize who you are. I thank you that you died for me. That, Lord Jesus, that you did it so that my sins would be forgiven. That a path could be made for me to the Father. And that because of it, my heart is filled with hope. That you, Lord, are my King, my Lord and my Savior. And that I'll take that hope to wherever I go and to whoever I have a relationship with. In Jesus' name, we also pray today for those that are on this side of marriage, prayerfully praying for the right person to come into their life, that God, you would direct them to those relationships. That they would begin, even before they say, I do, to begin to put the right foundation in their lives, to bring the best version of themselves to that relationship. That when they do come together with that person, that they commit themselves to them forever. That they make a lasting commitment. That, Lord Jesus, you will give them the strength to uphold. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.